Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
One industry that seems to have been forgotten a little bit is the industry that was the very first to close down in March of last year and will be probably the very last to reopen this year, hopefully. We're talking about the entertainment industry and the fact that they've been forgotten. Now, the government rolled out a scheme over the last couple of weeks, €25 million invested into the entertainment industry. But out of 417 groups, companies and organisations that applied for grants, only 270 actually got the grants. And a lot of people have been left with their noses a little bit out of joint. You may have read over the weekend, Aslan lead singer Christy Dignam said he was never so upset to be overlooked for a government grant that would have gotten Aslan back on the road. Aslan, one of the biggest bands this country has ever produced. And Christy saying this could now be the end of Aslan and that he's he mentioned having to get out of the country. I'm joined on the line by Billy McGuinness from Aslan. Billy, good afternoon to you. Welcome to News Talk.
Thanks, Adrian. The last time I saw you was at backstage at the Fla in Liverpool.
That's exactly right.
It seems like a decade ago, and it's only a couple of years.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Do you ever see yourself doing that again, Billy?
I mean, hopefully. Fingers crossed, yeah. I mean, we're out of work 15 months now, Adrian. And as you mentioned there about Christy, this latest snub, that's the only way I can describe it, because it's the second time that Aslan have been rejected for this
okay,
grant.
Okay, explain to me how this grant scheme works and who was able to apply for it.
Basically, there was €25 million up for grabs, of which there was, as you said, there was 417 applicants and 270 were awarded. It was open to get live music back. It was open to promoters, bands, anyone involved in the music industry. But what's really disheartening about the whole thing, and it's really sickening at this stage, is that when you're rejected, you can't appeal it, Adrian. It's a panel of experts. Nobody knows who the panel is.
So I was just about to ask you, do we know who these experts are? Who made this decision on divvying out €25 million?
Exactly. And the thing about it, Adrian, is this is public money. This is public finances. And we can't question where this money is going. And think about it. You have a panel sitting there and going, okay, we'll give it to that band. But we're not giving it to Aslan. Now, why? And what I want to know is, what's the criteria for this?
So tell me exactly what you applied for.
We applied for a grant to get the band back up and running. Aslan is a business. It's like you've got the band, you've got the crew, you've got the office. And that like, obviously, being out of work for 15 months with no income coming in, obviously, our little fund that we had for a rainy day is diminishing very fastly. That's the only way I can describe it. But laughing about it, but it's not a laughing matter,
absolutely. Yeah. And tell me, Billy, I mean, I was reading yesterday, maybe it was just a clever headline.
It was a clever headline.
Christy
Adrian.
Saying that he's down to his last 300 quid. Is he that broke?
No, he's not. No. Listen, Adrian, and all this, it could be the end of Aslan. That's what sells papers, you know. I mean, that was the editor taking, what's it, journalistic privilege, I think.
Well, could it be the end of Aslan?
No, absolutely not.
But how are you all surviving? How are you living?
Well, we're like everyone else. There's 35,000 people involved in the music industry. And a lot of them won't come back, Adrian. We're lucky that we had built up enough finances to keep us going through tough times. And that's what's keeping us going. But we need to get back on the road.
Okay, so could it be, Billy, that this mysterious committee, we don't have any names for who's on this committee, decided, well, look, Aslan or Grant, they don't need this money.
You see, people think, Adrian, when they see you on the telly or they see you out whatever, you know, people think that you're loaded. We're what you would class as a working band. We need to gig. That's what our main income is, from live work. That's it. It used to be years ago where it was CD sales or vinyl or whatever. It's now, most bands' main income is live work, and we've been stopped from doing that for 15 months, and we haven't been compensated by the government. And this is public money, and we're just asking.
Sorry, Billy, when you say you haven't been compensated by the government, did you have any of you received the PUP?
Or? Of course, yes, yeah. Yes, we are receiving the PUP, yes, as like anyone else. But Adrian, we've all got mortgages and bills, and family and kids. And that, you know, the pub doesn't go anywhere near.
Okay, back to this €25 million grant, I know the Department of Tourism, Arts and Culture said they just didn't have enough money to go around. They were given €25 million, they could have spent €90 million. Is it not just hard luck that you didn't get it?
No. And at one point I want to make, Adrian, and it's very important, we don't begrudge any of the acts or the promoters that got it because they deserve it. We just want to know why we were refused and what was the reasons why
refused. When you were refused, were you simply told, sorry, Aslan, you're not getting any money?
Exactly. A generic letter was sent out to all of the acts and promoters that didn't get it.
Okay, so
and
you
it
want
was a
to
generic
see...
letter. And when we questioned it to try and appeal it, we were told we couldn't. That's it. Sorry, lads. That's for the second time. Last year we were refused and this year we were refused. And we're like any other small business. You know, we need to get back up and running. And this would have been a nice little way of us getting starting back, you know, because we have expenses. Every week we have expenses going out and we've nothing coming in. So we thought we were definitely going to get the funding. The form was filled in correctly by the office. So it was. I'd love to know what the criteria was, why we were a few, why were Aslan... Adrian, we're 40 years in this country. When we were signed to EMI, we were asked to record our albums abroad, but we wouldn't. We wanted to keep money in the country. All of Aslan's albums have been recorded in Ireland. We've done all our videos in Ireland. We've employed people. The amount of revenue we've made for Ticketmaster over 40 years and the tax we've paid... And this is what we get. And we're only asking the question, why? Why were we refused?
Okay, well, we are going to reach out to the Department of Tourism, Arts and Culture and try and get some answers, because it does seem very strange that public money is being handed out by a committee that none of us know the names of, and that people can be refused without any good reason, and that you have no means of appeal. The decision is made and that's it. It's final. We will definitely reach out to the department, Billy. Stay with me for one second if you can, please. That's Billy McGuinness from Aslan. And they're not the only ones that are annoyed over the way in which this grant money has been divvied out. George McGrath is from Palace Marketing in Tipperary and he got in contact with us on 1890 453 106, which you can do as well. And he joins me on the line. George, tell me firstly just a little bit about your company.
Hi, Adrian. Thanks for having me on. Our company, I suppose, wouldn't be as well known as Billy, so just to explain, we run an event management company which we have been trading for since 2002. And our basic run is we run events in hotels, which are fundraising events for clubs, charities and schools. So far we've raised over €20 million for charities, clubs and schools through our events over the last 18 years.
And obviously in the last 18 months or 16 months, you haven't been able to do any of that work.
No, literally on the 10th of May of March last year, we had our last event. We were due to have two more, one in Ashbourne and one in Wexford the following weekend, and both were cancelled because our events are indoor events where, if you can visualise people coming into a hotel and you're looking at 400 or 500 people seated in theatre style coming in to see a show that we would generate.
So did you apply for and did you have any luck with getting a grant from this fund?
I've literally applied for several different grants and been refused everything. So I started with the CRSS, which was the original one that came out last year. Mm-hmm. We met all the qualifying criteria for that, including the drop in turnover that was required and all the things, because literally our turnover went to zero because we can't run an event outdoors. We can only run an event in a hotel. So I got back a generic letter from the CRSS application, which stated that the trade/trading activities submitted does not meet the eligibility criteria, with no explanation of what that meant. So I went back to them saying, we're in the entertainment business. This is exactly what CRSS has done. So I appealed it, saying we're 100% in the entertainment sector. We specifically qualify under the criteria. And then I got back a second decline stating the nature of the business is based on providing entertainment shows in hotels, which means the business does not operate out of a fixed premises.
So really? That was the answer? Your company, which...
That's the answer.
Which was, you don't have a front door.
No, because like anyone who's in entertainment, where you run events in theatres.
I understand the nature of your business, but the point being that the reason you were rejected is you don't have a front door, you don't have an office that you do
these. I don't have an office. Yeah.
Wow.
Because like nobody's going to come to my office to hear us perform.
No, of course not. And in terms of the latest round of funding, 25 million signed off over the last couple of weeks. Did you get any of that?
So there's a couple of other things that came in. Prior to that, there was the Small Business Assistance Scheme. And we, again, met all the criteria. But when we got down to the end, it said you have to pay rates. So that put us back to the exact same position as the CRSS, in that we didn't have a premises, we don't pay rates, so therefore we were declining that one.
So let me ask George, I was speaking to Billy McGuinness a couple of minutes ago from Aslan, and he said the lads, they all got the PUP, but not much more than that. Have you gotten anything, any sort of support for your company?
Nothing whatsoever. We also couldn't get the EWSS because we weren't able to retain any staff. We did get PUP, that's the only thing.
Okay, so that's the only support that your company, and I assume you were, in fact, I'm about to go to another guy who's actually a friend of mine from a similar company to yours, and the support's just been given to companies like yours has been practically nil. And I just can't understand this when supports have been given out elsewhere. And as I said in my introduction, yours was the first type of company that closed down and will be the last type of company to reopen.
It will be, yeah. And before you go, I suppose just to Kevin there, the LPSS is what we're talking about here now, the Life Performance Support Scheme. There is an eligibility criteria within that which says that you have to run a live event before the 30th of September. Now, if you visualize our live events are in conjunction with a charity which would need an 8-week lead-in period, we couldn't book an event like that to run before the end of September when we didn't know whether we would be able to get into a hotel to actually host it. So as a result, we couldn't qualify for the live support scheme. So we actually didn't apply because we knew that was exactly what was going to come back to us.
Stay there for 1 second, and I just have to put this on the table. Our next caller is actually a good friend of mine that I've worked with for many years in a company called Kevin Rowe Events, and Kevin Rowe is his name. Kevin, good afternoon. Welcome to the show.
Adrian, how's it going?
Kevin, in Tralee last year on the 6th of March, we were on stage with a fundraising show. I was actually presenting that show. We thought that night, this thing is getting serious. We may not get to do another gig. And we didn't get to do another gig. You haven't had any shows in the last year. Let me ask you the same question. What sorts of supports have you gotten? And did you get anything out of this latest grant?
Yeah, listen, thanks for having me on, Adrian. And just to echo, I suppose, a lot what Billy said and what George said, like my business will be mainly indoor functions, anything from 200 to 3,000 people. We've availed of some supports. We were getting the wage subsidy scheme. We've thankfully got the CRIS scheme, which we are very thankful for because we do have a rateable premises. And it shouldn't be the case that George doesn't get that scheme and I do get the scheme just because I have a rateable premises. That shouldn't be the deciding
criteria,
factor.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be the deciding factor, to be quite honest. But, but you haven't said that, our business is still 95% of our turnover is still down. We're still bleeding money like every week, like most of the other people in the entertainment industry. And
so you put in a specific application for this latest grant scheme, the 25 million grant scheme. Can you describe what you applied for?
Yeah, so the whole purpose of the LPSS is primarily to support, suppliers, crews, artists, promoters and producers. The fact that, my business is all primarily indoors and stuff, and obviously indoors isn't safe at the moment, we decided to put in an application to do an outdoor experience. So it was a kind of it was a gig in the Midlands we were looking at doing. It was an outdoor theatrical experience telling the life of Fionn McHugh. We would have had about 30, 34 people back working. It was going to be done over a full weekend. The grant, the application amount we put in was 108,000, and it was refused.
And again, you were given no reason, no means of appeal, nothing.
Yeah, it's the same as what Billy was saying, you know, and like many others, I mean, I've spoken to a huge amount of people during the week about this, you know, it was the same generic letter, like, you know, two of the key points was the project did not meet the aims and objectives of the scheme to the standard shown by other submissions, and the project was not practically feasible. So I've emailed the department now twice, and I'm still waiting on an answer. Just to clarify those points, because it all seems very wishy-washy.
Yeah, no, but and we, like, no. We have contacted the department ourselves here at News Talk, and they've promised to get back to us to explain how the whole process works. Kevin, you were turned down, basically, for this particular event, and similarly, your company, because you do a lot of indoor events, couldn't apply to do an indoor event at this moment in time. You're very annoyed over the way in which this money is being divvied out, just like Billy McGuinness was.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was 237 were accepted, and over 400 applicants applied. So you're talking about more or less 50% that got refused, give or take. Okay, so for starters, 25 million wasn't enough for an entire industry. That's the first point. When you go through the applicants and you look at all the different applicants from all over the country, and as Billy said, I wouldn't begrudge anybody on that list that got funding. I suppose my understanding of it in terms of what was given out, it doesn't really sit well with me. Like, for example, there's two quick examples I have here, right? So there's one fella who is a director on multiple companies, okay? And there was a scheme before Christmas. He received 57,000 euros. In other companies that he applied with, he got 185,000, 182,000, and 199,000. So that's over 620,000 in grants for a guy who's a director on multiple companies. Now, that does not sit well with me, to be quite honest.
I mean, into context your company and companies like yours? What sort of size would your company have been in terms of, like, what turnover would you have expected in 2020?
Well, I don't really want to give the turnover would be fairly sized, but
That's really what I'm trying to. You know, many people may not have heard of Kevin Rowe Events, but the fact is that it was a company that was doing very well.
Yeah, I mean, I a couple of weeks ago, we got our set of accounts for 2019, 2020, and there was a point in time where we had high turnover and it was a profitable company, and it's obviously very upsetting, you know, when you're talking to your accountant and looking back on that, and now it's totally and utterly destroyed. So, I mean, my company is just as justifiable as any of these other companies. And to be quite honest with you, you know, with those, that's only a flavour, Adrian, of some people.
Okay, now, one of the things that Billy McGuinness already said is that we don't know who these people are making the decisions. We don't know on what grounds the decision was made. And as we mentioned, this is taxpayers' money, 25 million euros worth of taxpayers' money. And there seems to be no accountability for how it's been handed out. Kevin, stay there for one second. Go on.
One final point, Adrian. I'd just like to say, like, most people on that list deserve to be included as some of the biggest promoters, but the money that was awarded is so out of kilter in terms of, you know, the money that's actually available. 25 million, number one, is not enough. The money's been too lopsided in favour of some of the bigger promoters. You know, when there's good companies out there like Bingo Loco, you know, Retro Drive-In Movies, Aslan, all of these people, there's about 200 different entities that got zero, and it's just not good enough.
All right, Kevin Rowe, thanks very much indeed for talking to us. Mark has been in contact with us from Watford. Mark, what's your situation? No, Mark.
We are successful in receiving...
Sorry, Mark, I missed the very start of that. Can you say that again, please?
I play with a band called King Kong Company, and we have been successful in receiving money from that fund, part of a project, but I still have an issue with it. So, you know, unlike some of your other callers, I'm not... You know, I couldn't be called disgruntled by the minister or her office. You know, we're going to get money out of it, but I still see the problems that exist in it.
And they are, as we've outlined, that we don't know who's making the decisions.
I think there's one bigger problem. I mean, some of your previous callers, I'd be in agreement with the majority of what they're saying. But I think one of the bigger things to look at here is to kind of zoom out from this a little bit. And what this is, to me, is it's a very expensive plaster that's being used to try and cover a gaping wound, that it's not enough money. But what it is doing very effectively is it's distracting from other problems. That, you know, we had the pilot gig in the Ivy Garden where the testing that we were told that was going to be on that gig wasn't on it. And that was used as a very effective PR vehicle by Catherine Martin and her office.
Mind you, the way people were spread out at that gig, you wouldn't have caught COVID in a month of Sundays.
You wouldn't. No, and
I agree with that entirely.
I talked to people who worked on that gig, and they expressed their dissatisfaction with how that gig was run as well. Mm. But in this instance, one of the criteria for applying for these projects is that if you're successful, everything you put out on your social media channels, on your posters, or any videos or streams that you produce has to have Catherine Martin's office logo on it.
In other words, funded by the department, and because they want that to be out there.
So they want the branding to be on that. And what we're in now is a situation where you've heard yourself, 337 projects. It's a drop in the ocean. And a lot of people didn't qualify who applied for it. A lot of people weren't in a position to qualify for it. And a lot of people in the industry have just given up hope on applying for these things for the very reasons that people have outlined. You know, there's no feedback and there's a lack of transparency. But what it is very effective as is a PR tool for Catherine Martin and her office. And I saw a poster for another pilot gig that's run in a couple of weeks. And the branding and the hashtag back to work was bigger than the names of some of the acts. And what happened 3 weeks ago is that, you know, Fall to Ireland put out guidelines. They announced these guidelines where it was no live or loud music. Mm. And the immediate impact of that was people who I work with and friends of mine, they had all their gigs cancelled because that was they were the guidelines that were announced. And we were told 3 weeks ago that those guidelines would be reviewed, and they haven't been yet. So what we're in is a situation where there are thousands of musicians in the country who are being kept from working. And it's illogical that, you know, we've become used to things not making sense. But the situation we're in now is I can go down the road and get into a swimming pool here in Tramore with strangers, but a harpist can't play acoustically in the foyer of a hotel. And where that might be acceptable, and we accepted some of this illogical stuff, you know, 7 months ago, keeping music industry professionals from working is having the gravest possible impact on their mental health. There's documented cases where people, unfortunately, have taken their own lives because they're not able to do their job. And in this case, some of them are being illogically prevented from working, that those guidelines don't make sense.
Okay, so two things need to be looked at here. We need to look at the guidelines that will enable musicians to get working in some way. But also, we do need a bit of transparency on how these decisions on the handing out of the grants were made and by whom. Who are the people making those decisions? All right, thank you very much indeed for your call, Mark. You're listening to Lunchtime Live with Adrian Kennedy. We'll take a quick break.
Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.